today. Let's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 1 through to verse 8. The heading is a time for everything. Verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. May God bless his words to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak to us through your words. All that's been prepared, Father, may that speak to us from you. Father, we want to have ears to hear you and eyes to see you. And may that be so during this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this talk, I Don't Like Change, because I'm a bit of a person that doesn't really like changes. I kind of like things in their place. And when I come home from work and my wife's had a bit of a mix around, you know, mix up, I walk into a chair perhaps because I didn't expect it there, and it's all things different. And I always say to her, don't touch my things. But she has a tidy up and she puts them away. Well, where have you put them? Don't know. I don't like change. Keep them where they are. I'll move them. Bless her. Bless you all that does the same. But you know, we are in a changing world. And it might be little changes. It might be big changes. But you know, changes are here to stay. We're always going to have changes. What about the four seasons? I love the four seasons. Because they all play a part, don't they? Spring, summer, autumn and winter. They're there for a reason. God created them for a reason. Take one away and everything is very, very different. You may have heard that we're in the process of having a new Fairhavens built. You know, we're about to look at all the changes that's going to happen there. Staff are struggling with changes. Some. I struggle with a little bit. Not all of it. Quite excited, to be honest. But there's changes we have to make. And in our chapel there, there's going to be four seasons in stained glass windows around, reminding us of God's creation. Changes are here to stay. What about when you get a new song or a new hymn you've never sung before? Don't like that one. I like the ones we sung last week. I don't know if you knew all the songs this morning. I'm not able to sing them too well today because my throat's struggling a bit. But you know, I love those songs. I love worshipping God. I love listening to praise on the CD in the car. Hard to change, isn't it? Hard to accept changes sometimes. The way we do things. Not like it used to be years ago. I prefer it back then. And I've got to say, with the internet, I prefer it when they weren't around. Life was a lot simpler for me in those days. I've got a phone that I have to keep with me from work, and it's full of stuff. I'm not kidding. And I'm thinking, I don't even understand some of it. But I have to have it. People just don't change. Said that lepers can't change their spots. In this world, people will not change unless they see a reason to change. And for us, you know, the day that we gave our lives to Christ, acknowledging Jesus' death on the cross, which we've done this morning, and we've sung, and we've read scriptures from his holy word, our lives changed. Things began to change. Is that the end? When we gave our lives, was that it? No, it continues daily. What does Peter say? We have to change. We have to live our lives and change daily. You know, there's so much we have to do. It's one of the songs that we sing, "Change My Heart, O God." Lord, I come to you. Change my heart. Purify my heart. You know, you look into the songbooks, there are so many songs in there that worship God in a certain way, and others that talk about us changing to be more like him. People change. Think about how you used to be years ago. Think about what you was like only a little while ago. I used to be quite an angry person. As a youngster of 10, 12, somewhere around there, I gave my life to Jesus. Did I change instantly? No. I went through my youth. I went through my teenage years. I went through my marriage years. And there was a lot of changes needed to be done in my life. I'd sit in church and I'd listen to the word of God. But there was things going on in my life I needed to change. But there was things that I was not going to do because of my faith. When friends of mine wanted to guide me in a certain direction, I wouldn't do it. It's a little funny story, actually. I was used to go to the Sunday evening gospel service in the church during my youth. And a friend of mine, Colin, he loved grabbing me at the end of the church service and walking me just a few doors down to the pub. And he'd pull me into the pub. Now, nothing wrong going to a pub, but in them days, I really didn't want it. And he took delight in trying to humiliate me in front of my friends and all that. Because, you know, I wouldn't mind, but it's the Lord's Day. I didn't want to do that, but he took delight in it. But, you know, there came a day when Colin came to me and he said, "Will you pray for me?" And I prayed for him. And he said, "I want to give my life to Jesus." And that man, he's now living in Canada. From all those years, he still loves the Lord Jesus and serving him with all his heart. Keep contact with him. Changes had to be made. I had to do a bit of adjusting myself, even in those days. Was it wrong going into a pub? I didn't want to do it, but I did it. Did it humiliate me? Yes, it did. Did I worry about it? A bit then, not too much. But when I look back, I say, God planned that. That helped to guide Colin to faith. What about our thoughts? Our thoughts change. What about what's going on with politics at the moment? My goodness me. If I hear the word Brexit once more, I think I'll scream. Do we know what the future holds there? We have to ask God to keep his hand, as we did this morning, on our government. And you know, one of the things I've learned is that sometimes we can't do anything. We have to accept whatever decision is made. But there are times when we make a stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've done that recently in Havens towards certain things. I've said, I don't agree with that. I don't think we should go down that road. I believe we should do this. Let's see what God's saying. Let's pray. Let's ask his advice. Let's see how the Holy Spirit guides us. Let's not just rush into a decision. Sometimes we have to make a stand. How about spiritual changes? Some of us has grown close to the Lord from that first day we gave our faith. Others perhaps have slowly drifted away, come back at a later date. Okay, so there are things that are changed. What about things that don't change? God never changes. He says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8. God's word has never changed. There are so many promises in there. There's so many commandments in there. You know, we think about the Ten Commandments. There's far more than that. There's things that we're asked not to do. There's things that we're asked to do. He doesn't change spiritually or physically or mentally. He stays the same. He's consistent. We're the ones that change. He cannot improve anything because he's perfect. He's created a perfect person in you and I. He doesn't grow old. When we have Remembrance Day, we talk about not growing old or weary. God doesn't grow old or weary. When he left this world, when Jesus left this world and he ascended into heaven, he looked from that day to this for the day that we would join him. And I think to myself, we sing about the coming of the Lord. From that first day that I gave my life to Jesus, I've looked for his return. I've wanted to be ready. I'm going to sin in between. Of course I am, because I'm only human. We're going to think the wrong things. We're going to say the wrong things. We're going to behave wrongly. But you know, I've got a God that forgives. I've got a God that loves me and cares for me. And when I make those mistakes, which we all do, he's there for us to say, I'll change you. If you're willing, I'll change you. I'll make you the person that I want you to be if you're willing. He's waiting for us. He's looking. His arms are stretched out. Someone said to me once, you know, how much does God love you? And I say, that much. It's the cross. That's much. That's how much he loves me. The cross shows me how much he loves me. What about sin? Someone said, but it's all right if it's only a little sin. It's okay. Does that need repenting of? Do we need to change from that? Just as much as the bigger ones. Does it count as a sin? Yes. Are we saying that only the big sins need forgiveness? That the small ones get overlooked by God? Of course not. We still need to say, we're sorry. Because the Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. Not some of the sins, all of the sin separates us from it. What do we call sin? Attitudes? Behaviour? Words we use? Thoughts that we use? What about physical things like drunkenness, cursing, wrong thoughts, laziness, greed, vulgar language? It's all unacceptable to God. We may get caught up in those at different times. The key word is forgiveness. If you are truly sorry, God will forgive. You know, when my children were little, and now it's my grandchildren, last weekend we were babysitting for my youngest son's two. And Lee, he's seven, and he's got autism. And he's really on the go. I mean, he's full on. Wouldn't go to sleep when we put him to bed, and I had to sit with him. You know, to him, being naughty wasn't the same as it is to me. He was just doing something that was in his behaviour as autistic. But you know, I sat with him, and as I sat on his bed and he was wanting to get up, I started to tell him a story, a Bible story. And I told him about the jailer and how Paul and Silas went into prison and they were singing. And he said to me, shall we sing, Granddad? And I said, all right, what do you want to sing? And we sang, if you're happy, unite, clap your hands. And but it calmed him down and we sat and I told him the story and he fell asleep. I suppose it's a little bit like when someone's boring when they're preaching, you know, and they fall asleep. And you think, oh dear, I've not reached that person. There was this man, actually, in the congregation once, and it was a Baptist church. And the preacher, he looked at the congregation, and every week this man kept sleeping. And he said, we've got to somehow try and stop this man sleeping. So he had this plan. So the following Sunday morning, he said this. He said, everyone who wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. This man's sound asleep. So everyone raise their hand except this man that's asleep. So then he shouted loud and he said, all those that want to go to hell, stand up. And this man shook himself and stood up and he looked around and he said, Pastor, I don't know what we're voting for, but it looks like it's only me and you that's coming. (Laughter) Yeah, maybe so. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, God is a loving God. And the more I can serve him, I will. And I hope that you feel exactly the same. Because changes are here to stay. They'll never go away. The act of love brings salvation to all who are here. To repent of their sin and believe on the hope in the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. That's the eternal message of the gospel. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5 says, "For there is one mediator between God and men, and that mediator is Jesus." John 14, 6, one of the first scriptures I ever learnt as a youngster. "No one comes to the Father except through me." No other prophets, no religions, not the Pope, not an angel, not a saint, no one except our Lord Jesus Christ. Had some difficult decisions to make recently at the hospice regarding multi-faith. Had a very big decision to make. We are open to all that will come into our hospice. But we are a Christian hospice. And you know, as personal to us, we are Christians. But we must be open to bring the gospel to anyone that is coming to us. Sometimes difficult decisions have to be made. You might have a decision to make yourself, whether you can accept those decisions or not. But there's always going to be changes around us. That's a fact of life. We're commanded by Jesus to live our lives holy and acceptable before God. Do you know, when we do that, people see the love of Jesus in us. I say regularly that when you look at somebody in their eyes, you can see Jesus or not. I want people to look at me and see Jesus in my eyes. In my behaviour, in my actions, even the touch of a hand, I want people to see Jesus in me. Is that you too? Romans 12 verse 1 to 2. "Therefore I urge you, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is God's pleasing and perfect will." That's what's expected of us. Because only then will people see Jesus in us. The way we talk to each other. The way we talk to our neighbour. The way we talk to the cashier at the bank. Or the lady that's putting all the food across. You know, some of them are so miserable, aren't they? I don't think they like the job. I have to smile at them. I smile at everyone, but I do like to smile at them. And look for them to smile back. I don't always look at you a bit weird sometimes. I think I might have told you the time when I cuddled one. Did I tell you that last time? I've got to tell you this story. It's so good. Me and my wife are shopping, and we come up to the checkout, you know, and there's this lady. She was really struggling. I mean, you could see. She was, you know, putting it all across. Saying hello to her, trying to talk to her not much. And there was a lady from my church, this was a few years back, and the lady from my church came over. She said, "Oh, John," and she cuddled me and Glenda, my wife, as well. And this one behind the checkout, she said, "I could do with one of them." So me and my wife walked around and gave her a big cuddle. And there's all these people queuing up behind, you know. And she said, "Oh, thanks for that." And all of a sudden, she was all right. And she was like, putting it all through, you know. And we put it in the bag. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for that. A little something. It's not much, is it? It's a little something. Now, I've got to say, if my wife hadn't been there, walking around and cuddling a checkout person wouldn't have been quite right, I don't think, you know. But really interesting. The way we behave, the way we look, the way we show the love of Jesus to others. What a fantastic thing to have. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 to 21 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." Amen. Isn't that right? Amen says there. And amen is right. The old has gone. But we keep bringing it back. That's our trouble, isn't it? We keep getting back into our old ways. But the Bible says they're gone. The new life has come. New life in Christ Jesus means that we can have forgiveness of sin and receive eternal life. I'm going to tell you about two funerals that I've done last week. The first one was a lady. She'd only been with us 6 weeks before she died. She came off holiday, diagnosed. Within 6 weeks, she died. At the funeral service, it was packed solid. I've never seen so many people in the crematorium at Southend. Standing all around. Obviously, chairs filled, standing around. Doors open, people was outside. The tributes was amazing. That this lady had shown so much love to people that they wanted to say goodbye. She was a Christian. She made a difference. She had an impact on so many people's lives. Then I did another one. There was 7 people. I wondered what went wrong. What happened that people would not come to that person to say goodbye? No faith. They wanted a non-religious ceremony. But they still wanted to sing a hymn. They still wanted me to pray. The committal, of course, is always with Scripture. But they wanted a non-religious ceremony. But they accepted and asked for those things. What happened to that person? The love of Jesus was probably missing. Something not there. You know, I often think to myself, when that day comes for me, I wonder what people will say. Will they have good words to say? Or will they say something, you know, not really honouring to me? But you know, I want people to come that day and honour my God that I loved and I served. I want them to take note that I tried my best to do my best. And when I didn't, I came to God for forgiveness. I asked him to help me in those times when I struggled. To me, that's what Christianity is all about. 2 Timothy 1 verse 12. It's a scripture given to me on the day that I became a Christian. I know in whom I've believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted unto him against that day. When I gave my life to Jesus, he held that. He held on to that. And the day that I stand before him, I believe that I will receive eternal life. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. They believe they're going to work and work and work and work and do everything they can until the day they stand before God, hoping they've done enough to get into heaven. That's their faith. I mean, I have to say, in one way, God bless them for knowing Scripture. Not all of it is correct, but in my view, and I have to say this is my view, I stand sometimes at the door with some. I've invited them in at different times and we've shared the differences of opinions. And a lady came into Havens, Jehovah's Witness lady, and as soon as I met her, I said, "Hello, Margaret." She said, "Hello, John." I said, "I'm John, a chaplain here." She said, "We're going to disagree." That was the first words to me. "We're going to disagree." And I said, "Well, let's not disagree. Let's find out what we can agree on." And we agreed on heaven. And we talked around heaven. But you know, when she was dying, and also, sorry, I should say as well, she asked me to pray that day. Now, that's unusual. But I prayed for her. And then when she was dying, some of her Jehovah's Witness congregation was in the room with her. And I was walking past the door, and one lady came out to me. She said, "You've spent time with Margaret, haven't you?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Please come in with us." That's really unusual. And I joined in with the prayers for that lady. Somehow, I made a difference. Why did I make a difference? Because I was willing to accept people for who they are. Wanting God to change them, yes. Wanting them to find eternal life, of course. I wanted to make a difference. And I've seen that many times because of the way that we behave towards each other. I'm going to sing a song for you. I've got a gruffy old voice, but I want to close with this song.